You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for all the members that make it up, including everyone here. And I pray that as we get into Christmas and the week of Christmas and the week beyond, that we would know that you are near, that you are with us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us. Pray this all in his name. Amen.
Yeah, so I'm excited to get to do this. I've gotten to do it a couple times, and y'all have been a gracious crowd. So glad to do it again. I decided I'd keep my assistant, the Reverend Will Fagan, up here, just as in light of a really big week that our church family's been living. Kind of prep has looked like conversation between the two of us, so we thought we would let that be our effort. Let today's class be a conversation with us, as y'all, some of you have seen us do before. And today we'd like to talk about Christmas, seeing as it's just a few days away. And we're going to start with Luke's account of the gospel. That's what you have on your handout, in Luke chapter 2. And as you listen, there's a nugget near the end where Mary has heard what the shepherds have heard from the angels. Keep in mind, Mary had an encounter with an angel when she was pregnant. And so she knew something big was happening. She knew this son that she was carrying and about to give birth to, or in this case, in the story we're about to read, had just given birth to, had divine implications for the whole world. But she didn't. We have the privilege of knowing what that was. She didn't. And even when those shepherds came, she still didn't know. But I like the language it talks about, that Mary, when she hears the good news, and again, she's getting little pieces of information of what this is, huge thing God's doing, she treasures it and ponders it in her heart. So it's news that she takes in. Others are proclaiming it, which is an incredible, appropriate response. And she, in that moment, is treasuring it and storing it up, perhaps for future drawing upon. So that's kind of what I would intro that with, if you'll read for us.
Sure. And I'll say, I don't want to sound too Protestant here. This is not a what would Mary do kind of class. But I do find that this passage, it stirs up a gospel response in us in treasuring who Jesus is and treasuring what the gospel is in the same way that it did with Mary. I love Mary, by the way. That wasn't a slight at Mary. Here we are, Queen of Heaven. All right, so this is Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 21. And while they were there, they, or Mary and Joseph, and there is Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see what this thing has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the angels had what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. At the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, perhaps an obvious statement about to make, but there exists a real cause and effect in the birth of Jesus. So the incarnation of Christ, the coming of Christ, that changes the world, and therefore here in 2025, it changes how we live our lives. It has real implications that can't be overstated. The incarnation, the coming of Christ, is the step one in how Jesus will physically redeem all of us. So that's a really big deal. In the class, in the classes leading up to this week in this Advent series, we've been talking about waiting for Christmas. I want to talk today, as we just referenced with Mary, about kind of treasuring and pondering Christmas once it's here and even after it's here. So there seems something I personally love, as Will referenced earlier. There seems to exist this kind of unspoken and yet to me quite lovely phenomenon that happens between the days of Christmas and New Year's. It's kind of this moment. There's a glorious week there where getting out of PJs can be optional. In some cases, maybe break from work or at least hopefully lighter workload can occur. Feels like there's a little more elbow room for just life and kind of taking a deep breath at a pause that happens in that week. At that point, ideally the presents have already been wrapped and given. Maybe some people are traveling to do a second or third or fourth Christmas, but without that, hopefully presents are wrapped, the parties have been done, and you get to take a breath from that. In essence, the scurry of the holiday season has come to a screeching halt at the culminating moment of Christmas Day. And at that moment, I personally love, it seems like time is suddenly suspended and it's a quiet, peaceful moment. In that brief window between Christmas and the start of the new year, we get a glimpse, in my view, of what it is like to go from waiting to enjoying, from racing to resting, my favorite, from striving to receiving. Feels significant. One thing I love about it, it's not anything we have to manufacture. It's kind of something that happens in our society. I don't know if everybody would experience it as restful as maybe we did as a kid with work, but can some people know what I'm talking about, that week. It's something different out of the rest of the year, even different than the week of Christmas, perhaps. I really find this, when I pause and we kind of peel back the layers of it in our discussion even this week, I find it to be actually a real manifestation of the gospel, particularly coming off the race, the build-up, the expectation that is Christmas season and Christmas Day. Anything you'd say?
Yeah, I always think it's funny in both of us talking about it this week. We both experienced like this experience before getting married. Mm-hmm. There's this sort of like life sabbatical week of after Christmas, and you forget what day it is. Like the time economy goes from one day after Christmas, 2 day after Christmas, 3 day after Christmas to New Year's Eve is tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. No, it's actually the next day. And you get this sort of, I mean, I love that there's like no expectations for December 28th. Mm-hmm. What December 28th the heck has to look
you
like.
You know that it is December 28th.
Yeah, there's a lot of expectations on like Christmas Eve. Like we're all making decisions. What service are we going to? I was talking to a couple upstairs. Well, should we go to the 3 o'clock or the 5 o'clock? And I was like, they're both kind of crazy. they're both great. And they're both, so if you really want a peaceful service, maybe the 8 o'clock. And they're like, well, that's sort of in dinner time. And I was like, good luck with your decision making. I don't know what to tell you. and so then that's Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. Of course, like family time is amazing. And yet, you know, you still kind of budget. You have to budget, you know, especially when you, even before you have young kids, after you have young kids, you have to sort of navigate what does Christmas Day look like, and then it sort of ends. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you don't get the flu. You just get to enjoy that week. And we were both talking about how we both enjoyed that even before we got married. Mm-hmm. And then even when we got married, we sort of kind of fall in this nice rhythm. And I thought, oh my goodness, like there's real gospel implications here. Mm-hmm. And it's fun you and I talking about this week. So I'll ask you, and we noticed that these are both things that really started for us in childhood separately. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, you had a distinct rhythm growing up in this point of the year, really Christmas evening through the new year. Tell us about that. Tell us how that gets into Elizabeth in her 30s.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. So a relevant fact, just because it'll make sense when I describe the schedule, but my parents are divorced. That meant I had two Christmases growing up, which as a kid, I'm like, what a dream. You get to run it all back again.
Almost on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day. So for me, that this phenomenon I'm describing, where time is just suspended. And now I'm not great with time, so those who know me, you might think I always operate that way, but truly it felt it. It was like my soul felt relief. I'm like, there's no regard for the clock or time. That started Christmas Day. I mean, we woke up at my mom's house and it was PJs all day, a Christmas story on loop on TV, fireplace going, hot or cold outside. That was one of my favorite features. And we, you know, opening presents. We had different family members kind of floating in and out throughout the day, spending time together, sharing presents, eating candy, eating other good breakfast, brunch foods kind of throughout the day. And it was lovely. I mean, none of it happened on a schedule. It just kind of naturally unfolded. Just kind of, oh, we're hungry? Sure, let's eat something. You know, it wasn't on a schedule, which I think is lovely. I really enjoyed that. Then around, I'll say roughly 3 p.m., there's some regard for the clock, we'd go over to my dad's house, and we'd start it all again. The only difference is we were in clothes this time. We changed off our PJs, and we were in clothes, and we would do it all again. And it, just as equally, with disregard for any kind of schedule or needs or anything other than being together and spending time together, the joy of truly getting to share gifts with each other. There's probably certainly things to be said there for distraction of all the gifts, but that was, you know, it was a really fun, relaxed rhythm that we had. I mean, not even dinner happened at a certain time, Will could attest.
I don't think I've eaten dinner at your dad's house before 9:30 on Christmas night.
Raglans know how to linger. It's lovely. It all unfolded kind of this peaceful, restful, enjoyable, you know, kind of way. And then on the 26th, I just learned it's Katie's birthday, so I hope this helps strike something for you. But on the 26th, we would load up in the car with Dad and my siblings, and we would hit the road, head down I-65, head to the beach for the whole week. And we'd be there from the 26th till New Year's Day. And just random things I remember from that, there was always an indoor pool, and as a kid, that was so fun, going swimming in December. We would be in sweatpants and go out on the beach. It would be, of course, lovely enough to get to do that in Florida. Eating seafood, maybe probably chicken fingers for my siblings. I think that's where I learned I liked grouper. And then, of course, one of my favorites as a kid was there were the hallway bunk beds that my sister and I would sleep in. And then I have other distinct kind of funny, silly memories as kids of games we played up and made up and would play. That rhythm was a real gift. I feel like, us joining lives, you got to kind of catch glimpses of that, even when we were first dating. But it developed a natural way to kind of, oh, this is a distinct point in time. Christmas has come and we can kind of relax. So that's a very practical way we lived, but we'll get to gospel implications too.
Yeah. But yeah, I can just like to start this thread. You didn't have to make up the fact that this was a restful week.
No, it just was. It came to me that way. It was lovely. Yeah. There was no rush to anything else. It was nice. Now the new year came and that was different. School started back and all of that. But that week kind of hung suspended in the air. It was nice. And I know, Will, you have some association with this in childhood memories.
Sure. Yeah. This is just fun. I have a twin brother, and our birthday is on New Year's Eve. So I expect everyone to remember that. Text me in a few days. Let me know how much. Yeah, anyway. So my mom did, and I didn't know this, but she, like, ended Christmas, like, Christmas night. She was like, Christmas is over, birthday season is here. She wanted us to have, like, this kind of sort of distinct way of, yeah, it kind of chokes me up. It's really sweet. Yeah.
Sweet.
Love you, Mom. So she would, it was like a thing. We would take the ornaments off the tree Christmas night, pack everything up, and then we would put the tree on the street, and then we would go to a movie as a family. And sort of that sort of enacted post-Christmas week. And it was fun, and it was relaxing. And the only things I can remember doing, like, as I look back on childhood, and this was probably 10 years old to 25, I would watch the average bowl games. Like, I would watch all of them. And then I would start, like, reading lists for myself. Okay, these are things that I want to read in the, like, this. I have time to read, so I'm going to read it. And I remember thinking, like, because there's nowhere to be. I mean, I have this weird memory of being like, okay, the Leeds Library has this book. I'm not going to wait for it to get shipped to Trustful. I'll just drive to Leeds and get the book because I've got nothing but time right now. And I am that nerdy. And then we would just play pickup basketball. Mm-hmm. At the Hewitt Trustful Middle School Gymnasium had this way where if you, like, jangled the door the right way, you could just get in. And so I would just play pickup hoops, like, every afternoon. So it was sort of like wake up and see what bowl games are on, sort of have an idea, like, at the 11 o'clock games, maybe watch that for a bit, read for a bit, play basketball for a bit, come back and watch more football. And there's, like, not a single thing anyone's asking of me or for me. And there always happened to be Hawaiian rolls and leftover ham. And that's, we would just sort of graze on that for the entire week. And so anyway, it was just this really special time where there might be 51 weeks out of the year where I have stuff to do, and this is not one of those. Mm-hmm. And I, it was like sort of this reset week mm-hmm. that just felt great. So no, but something that we've begun, something that you've done, is sort of what we do is now we leave the tree up for sort of an extended window, which sort of is like, we're still in Christmas time. We don't, like, let's not just start the year right away. Mm-hmm. Let's leave it up. So anyway, that's something that you brought to us. Because
yeah.
I was used to packing the tree up, like, at 2 o'clock on Christmas Day.
Yeah. With good reason.
Okay.
I remember the first time I witnessed it.
The sun was still up.
So, Will, I dare you to share, reveal to everybody the latest you and I have kept it up.
This had a poor purpose. So we, several years ago, Isabel was 18 months old, and my dad, who's a builder, was doing some work on our house. We moved out for a little bit, and we moved back in. It all just felt like so much at one time, and we didn't get in until really like almost the week before Christmas. So the tree didn't go up till like the 19th, and it usually goes up at the very beginning of the month. And so we just couldn't bring ourselves to bring mm-hmm. it down until February 1st, I think. It was
that's
like,
record.
It was
not
like,
on accident.
We need the Sabbath to continue. We're going to act like it's December still.
That's a good, it's like a clinging to the Sabbath in a way.
Yeah. And now our girl's like, well, there's two things you love. You love turning the Christmas, you love like turning this, like you wake up, you turn the lights on the
yes,
tree. Like they have to be on. And then you love standing by the fire. And now our girls love the Christmas tree. And they don't have the fire. We don't have the,
we
don't do that
yet.
Yeah,
bedtime.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah. So okay. So you happen to be the queen of all things cozy, and lingering in the moment. What are some ways that you enjoy the week after Christmas now?
Mm-hmm.
As and how did maybe some of those restful themes how have they sort of continued? How do you prioritize it?
Yeah. You know? So again, it kind of came to me as a kid, and so it feels natural to me only to continue it. And I hope that this concept is resonating for y'all, that you might in your own way perhaps feel this in your own life. So these days for me, that week, I do have some work that I've got to do, some of it, so it's not a week at the beach. But these days it looks like spending extra time with our busy toddlers, so that's active, but that's restful to me because I enjoy getting that time with them, that extended time in that week. Enjoying the tree, that's clearly a big one. It might be on their nap time, got the tree on, got a fire on, got tree, yeah, turned on, fire turned on, and maybe even reading a book or watching something, which that might sound boring or, I don't know, normal, I don't know, but that's atypical for me for the majority of the weeks of the year. On nap time, I'm like, this is my moment, we're going to get the house clean, we're going to knock the stuff out that needs to get done, so he's usually urging me, like, you're going to, you know, break at some point, you should sit down. But I, yeah, it's for some reason, my soul doesn't need to be given permission just to sit down that week. It's lovely. And just something I wanted to comment, I think part of the reason, and this gets to some gospel implications, part of the reason I so enjoy this unique week and pretty deeply feel all that we're talking about describing is that I kind of get got by the holiday season. I mean, it gets me good every year. particularly, I'm going to talk about it in my current season in life, but just despite my best efforts to set aside distractions and kind of all the things that the different classes we've talked about, the purpose in Advent, the significance in Advent, and kind of spending time treasuring and pondering, as Mary did, just the coming of Christ, the light breaking through the darkness, something we're very much feeling as a church body right now, light breaking through darkness. I find myself totally caught up in the strong tide of the hustle and bustle. I think you even talked about maybe in the first week of this class, like it's this like current bigger than us.
There's a gravitational pull of Christmas that's bigger than we are.
Yeah, and you talked about some like lovely ways that is, that rhythm. It's like, yeah, I'm driving around, I'm listening to different kind of music right now and whatnot. There's something great about that, and I let it distract me. I mean, all that it is, Christmas is in 2025, I let it distract me. There's the race to finish all necessary work before year end. There's the missed goals of kind of getting ahead on the presents and the wrapping. I mean, I've never quite nailed it. I've gotten close this year, but there's more to be done. The wants kick up for me, the end of year sales. Just like I start to be like, oh, wait, I think I want and need more than I usually do.
Did you know that Lake has a sale right now? Lake pajamas?
It's over. But I'm like the... I've just noticed, I think the more tired I am, which definitely comes at this time of year, the more I get, like, some decent marketing can have its effect on me. What? So kind of the arrival of the deadline, which is how that feels. Christmas Day comes, and it's like, oh, we can let our hair down. We can relax. I can genuinely experience kind of this practical rest, and what I want to get to is kind of a soul rest. For that kind of brief moment, and this, I'm talking about this in a fairly shallow way at the moment with deeper implications, just I experience kind of a striving cease for that week. So I want to acknowledge this is what I'm describing with kind of pausing on the Christmas hustle and bustle and then this unique week. That's a fairly mild, very mild kind of experience of what I'm comparing it to, but it's a much deeper rest and striving cease that we're given as Christians. And yet, this simple little regular rhythm that happens the last week of the year is a beautiful reminder to me of what's actually deeper truth for me, that my weary soul can rejoice, that Christ indeed has come and set us free. So I can rest certainly from my daily tasks, but this week softly speaks something even deeper to me. I can, my striving can cease, whether it's proving myself to fellow man or to God or, yeah, proving some sort of worth is typically what my striving can look like. And so the tree staying up well beyond Christmas, as y'all have heard, and yeah, beyond the new year, even once the hustle and bustle has picked up again, we like to keep it up a little longer. That serves as this quiet, soothing reminder to me that Christ has come. Now, am I always conscious of that? No, but there is something kind of underlying in this like natural felt life rhythm that I think it's lovely. It touches something real. So, Will, what about you? What would you add? You've got rhythms these days, but what do you have to say?
Well, today I've gotten a couple invitations to play golf after Christmas. Yeah. I'd love to tee it up if it's nice enough. But it definitely, as I said earlier, it's like the creature comforts kind of time of year for me, like that hasn't ended. This is sort of. And a lot of us can recognize like this, like I've got a lot of energy about me. I'm a doer. I like to knock mm-hmm. things out. I've got a list. Like the other day, I was like, I have to change the tire today. And you said, why do you have to change the tire
not
today?
Urgent.
I was like, it's on the list. I don't know.
Extra cost. It wasn't necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was, it's a time of year where I don't expect anything of myself, which I think, yeah, it just feels like what do you want to do today? Well, the Boca Raton Bowl is on right now. I'll probably watch that. and so it's a sort of, yeah, a creature comfort times of year. So I love, as I keep saying, I love watching meaningless bowl games. I've got a couple books on my list. I love to play golf. And then it's also just a sweet time of year where our girls, they're not in school. It's been a fun time where if you have young kids, you'll get this. And if you don't have young kids, like this will be a fun thing to look forward to. I just like, we'll scoop Isabel and have a half day mm-hmm. with her. I've got these like great pictures of like Google photo memories that keep popping up of like 2 years ago of just she and I having a day with each other. Yeah. And it's like, there's nowhere to be, there's nowhere to go. We can do everything at a sort of like this relaxed pace. And then of course, like we have a great time like seeing different people that are in town, mm-hmm. finding who are high school friends that are home or whatever it may be. But I mainly love that unless you work in the insurance industry, and you've got these, 1231 or 1-1 renewals that you have to get wrapped up, or sales, if you have a time to where you can have a week off, it's like, this is the week to take off, and December 28th has no expectations. That's just what I love. Mm-hmm. And then you get to, growing up, a lot of people had to say, your birthday is New Year's Eve. You're going to have, like, the best night ever. And it's like, I probably just want to watch more football. I love that this week doesn't have there's a sense that, as you said, that there's a real aroma of Christ and that there it feels like Christ has come and there's nothing to do. I hope that the eternal life kind of feels like this week. I really do.
Yeah.
That forever, Gil Cracky has this great word about eternity, in eternity feeling like the eternal now. We're not really thinking about the future. We're not thinking about the past. We're just here. We're just now, and we're just present. And these few days, they sort of like, they stack one into each other, and I can't really distinguish one from the other. And that's like a helpful thing, mm-hmm. actually. It's just a helpful time of year. So, anyway.
And I'll wrap this up, kind of try and put a bow or conclusion to this, and then we'd love to hear y'all's thoughts. I'm not even sure of the time, but if we can, hear anybody's thoughts of your own experiences or responses to this. But so as Christians, this transition that we're talking about from striving to receiving, so in our receiving Christ and then receiving this rest, is now our forever reality. I mean, this is true 365 days a year. However, in our fallen world, I certainly don't remember that every day of the year, and I don't live as if that's true. And yet, as we started the class, that's what we have been granted. I mean, this impacts our everything, this truth that Christ has come. So, kind of what we'd encourage you, I think you've heard kind of throughout the class, what we'd encourage you today is to let this brief yet beautiful experience of that week, whatever that might look like for you, kind of following Christmas, coming up to New Year, let it speak to our souls, just what's true. Christ has come. Our strivings can cease as we receive our King. Maybe leave your tree up a little longer. That doesn't stress you out. It might stress some people out. And in a way, let that simple act or whatever simple things you can kind of notice about this calmer rhythm, let it speak to your heart as we celebrate good news with great joy. So we hope. I hope that's a gift or a blessing, a bit of a silly concept on one hand, but it's real. It's a real life thing. So would love to hear any thoughts or feedback. If there's anything anybody enjoys in that week or experiences that week. Some of you may experience the opposite. I don't know. But yeah, any thoughts or response to that if we have time?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
We do all the things that we didn't have time for. Still go to the zoo with the lights.
Yes.
You can still go to like Snow Out, gingerbread houses. Like,
yep.
It feels like there's a deadline, but then once you have a child, it's like deadlines are kind of out the window.
Yes. Kind of continues. Yeah, confession. Any Christmas cards I'm doing are happening after Christmas, so I do have a task.
I was just wondering if you had any thoughts or advice on the Christmas dinner in terms of how to bring Christ better into.
So during kind of Christmas or Christmas Eve, kind of during your rhythms.
During the family, our family or group dinner.
Yeah.
In terms of
your thoughts
from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's a great question. Are you having thoughts?
You know, I love. I mean, both of our all three of our families kind of do this well. It's like there's plenty of food to eat like before the dinner starts. There's no real rush to like begin the dinner. So I just think just making it as restful mm-hmm. as possible in that way is like fun and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of takes like the work out of it. And there's plenty of work obviously that goes into it. But it sort of takes like the deadline kind of feel out of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a fruit of the gospel of Christ mm-hmm. That we get to have. I know I experienced that in different ways in all of our mm-hmm. family.
Yeah, each one looks different even, and yet they all have their own kind of restful rhythm in that regard, kind of a let it kind of flow. Mm-hmm. Now, and it depends, I'm like the chef for the meal might feel a certain stress that's harder to relax and that sort of thing. The other than conversation, I mean, the way I can naturally kind of feel a restfulness is kind of what you're talking.
Sure.
As much as you can, you kind of take the schedule off where you can. Cooking, that's odd. I mean, that's an interesting question, too. But and then sometimes we cheat and we cater things in, so it makes it a little easier. So.
I was just going to say, what we like to do is kind of go around the table and just say, like, what we're thankful for this past year.
Yeah.
And then kind of what we're praying for the next year.
That's
just
great.
Kind of keeps the conversation going, too.
Yeah. It can serve as such a natural point in time where we naturally kind of reflect on things, whether some probably do that intentionally. I'm not near that planned, but you know, kind of a natural reflection on kind of the year you've had. And for those who are more forward thinking, even start to think of like desires for the new year. So I think that's a natural thing that could happen. So if it's fitting to the people you're with, I think that's a lovely thing to do. I love that.
I think what y'all are talking about is accepting the gift of Christ mm. and the grace in the season mm. of Epiphany.
Yeah.
And accepting Epiphany mm. as a gift. That's the 12 days of Christmas after. And the church calendar lets you kind of live into that without apologizing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Epiphany is a great thing to celebrate.
Yeah. That's a word we haven't said the whole time that is... It drifted in the whole thing is grace. I mean, the whole thing is a receiving of grace. That's a really good thing to say, Kevin. So,
I think it was interesting. I didn't know until a couple of years ago that the 12 days of Christmas started on the 25th.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
From the 25th on. And I came across this liturgy, and we've done it 2 years now. It's kind of what's called Chalking the Door. Don't remember. It's like in a catechism thing. It's like, and you can still, I mean, you would not notice it unless I point out to you, but it's still there. And you write C plus M plus D plus the year. So it would be 26 this year. And there's a liturgy for it. You read it as basically like blessing, like the blessing of God begins here. And it passes over the, you do it over the threshold of your door.
That's cool.
Wow. I love that.
And there was a liturgy I made the kids, yeah, the first time we did it, they were like, this is so weird.
Well, it's funny, like those things, like they're weird the first time you do it, and then it's awesome the next
year. Comfort.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We did that at our Episcopal church in New Orleans, and when we started during COVID, they like delivered the chalk to everyone's house.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Unique kind of witness there.
Like literally, we would see people taking pictures of our door.
I think it's just a sense of like you were saying, striving to see the you know, when we know God is with us, Emmanuel, in our lives from the, you know, lowest to the high moments, to strep throat, to, you know, like dealing with relationships with your families, it's this sense that you don't have to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're fully accepted by
Mm-hmm.
And so you can sit at a dinner table and not feel like you have to, measure up or prove yourself, or cook a meal, and if it's not great, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Or order Chinese, you know. But I just think there's this kind of sense of being able to. I love what you said. Striving cease, like it's no longer. Mm-hmm. And so you can ponder and you can be with one another in that moment, and kind of have more of a listening ear, whether it's to God or to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
But I don't know. I just get this sense of we live in a world where everybody's trying to prove themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to.
Yeah.
Just be free.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I was going to say one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Paige, you mentioned strep throat. Jenna, y'all have made it through. Yep. But just, I was just thinking that as I was pondering this class a while back, I was thinking about interruptions. So. Yeah. In life, and those can be really frustrating when we're interrupted. If I'm interrupted in my work, if I'm interrupted in a task I'm trying to do, or if I'm interrupted on my plans because we're all sick, or whatever it may be, that can be frustrating. And yet, something about over Thanksgiving, our youngest was pretty sick, and she was wanting me to just hold her. And so I did that while she napped, and I haven't done that in a while with her. She's 1.5. And it was, I had other plans for nap time, as I confessed earlier, just my strivings. And, it was lovely. It was an interruption that came, and I like totally relaxed into that. There's something about our girls that can do that. Even in the middle of the night, I'm like, I'm holding you, that there's something softening there. And so real, I'm sure it's love. But yeah, just thinking about whatever comes with the season. Last year it was flu for us, the week of starting on the 26th or the night of the 25th, really. But those, even the interruptions, can create a nice, striving cease and rest when I my perspective goes that way. But strep made me think of that.
Yeah, let go of control.
Yeah, let it happen. Yeah, that's great.
Can you pray for us?
I can. Yeah, let's wrap up. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you came, that you love us so much that you came. Thank you that you've revealed us what that means, that we get to trust you by your grace and be made whole, and our souls are made whole, our weary souls can rejoice, and our strivings can cease. I pray, Lord, as we go into this Christmas week, Lord, and there's no doubt plenty of ample to-do lists and even distracting things, and then even full wonderful things to come in the next few days and over this week, I pray, Lord, that you would be with us as you promised to be. Help our souls to find rest in you, even in the chaos and in the busy and in the moments of rest, Lord. Yep, we find our rest in you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.